Congratulations!
You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the Bay's number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
I almost choked to death on a soft drink right before this.
Kate really loves diving right into the soft drink, just chug-a-lugging like immediate.
Mm-hmm.
All right as you crack the can open.
It was pretty intense. Chemical sweetness.
Well, just the carbonation alone would make me, I feel like it would come through my nose or something.
Oh, yeah.
What happened this week? What's happening next week?
It's the end of the semester for the semesterized people.
So I work in Civic Center, and there are graduation parties left and right, and it's so sweet. All the families are out. All the students, I mean, these are adult students, so I don't know where they're coming from, but there's like Hastings School of Law is right there downtown.
Hastings. If you listen to Precious Flamingo, you'll know that.
That's right. That's
Hastings
right.
Hastings is a real motherfucker.
Yes, indeed.
Anyhow, go on.
Anyhow, so all the families are out taking pictures in front of City Hall. It was like weddings all over again, but it's kind of sweet. I don't know. How's it over at SFA? Are all the kids dressed? Not the kids. Are all the students dressed up in their gowns yet?
The class I was teaching, I only had one student who's graduating.
Oh, okay.
So not a lot of pomp and circumstance.
No, indeed.
Actually, they're still kind of, they have all their shows, like they have like undergrad, they have shows all the time. And
right.
Their big BFA show and the MFA show are about to open. So it's kind of not quite celebration time yet.
What do all the students do with all their work at the end of the semester? Do they
throw
it like
away.
A burn pile?
They just leave it. Yeah. And then like, you know, all the monitors and people have to go get it and throw it away. It's a good way to get canvas.
Right.
If you want to paint over some stuff.
Yeah, just grab some frames here and there.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to relive a year's worth of exhibitions, who would you do it with?
Okay, so can you kind of set up the parameters for me a little bit more? So am I actually going back in time?
No, you're not going to the exhibitions. You are reliving them through someone else's writing, talking, photos. Like, who do you think can best deliver on what an exhibition
is
like?
So it's like I really was there.
Well, as close as it can be.
Shit. Dude, do I have to do the ones that
I don't even have an answer for this yet.
Do I only have access to the things they've actually taken pictures and written about, or I am basically employing them for a year to document all the art in the world?
Oh my God.
Through their own interpretation.
I think it's more about the person. Like, who would you choose? Yeah, who would you choose to sort of relay?
That would be awesome. Do they have to be alive?
No. At this point, no. I think we're good. We're good for it to be anyone.
Oscar
Ronald
Wilde.
Ronald Reagan. No, just kidding.
I'd go with Oscar Wilde.
Okay, now if they were alive, let's go for...
Only a living person?
Let's try it out. Mm-hmm. Let's see how that changes our perception.
I don't know. Kevin Killian. Somebody like fun and sassy.
Yeah. That's a good choice. I think that's a really good choice for Bay Area, at least. Or probably anywhere, honestly.
Okay, this is what's happened to me. This is so off topic of arts and culture, but it's such, what is art, you know? But anyhow, so
what is culture?
Okay, so I'm really sorry to drag everybody down into this, so just skip this part of the podcast if
Fast
you don't want to hear some
beep, 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 beep.
Weeds. I go deep in the weeds. Okay, so you know, there, remember the Nazi that got punched
in Berkeley?
No, this was like during the inauguration. His name's Richard Spencer. He's an actual white supremacist.
Okay.
He got punched and it was on a video. An anarchist went and punched him. It was a meme. It like went
around
the world.
I think I remember seeing that.
Okay, well, he's a legit white supremacist. He's the guy who coined the term alt-right.
Right.
Okay. And he like wants America to be like a white ethno state. And anyhow, he's been like around.
It's impossible. Fucking asshole.
Well, I mean... Right. And like they dress it all up and they're like, you know, we want people to self-select and just leave the country. And like, we're not violent. We're not condoning violence or genocide. Yeah.
So self-selected to fucking be here. Duh. The hell.
Yeah. So it's like all really, really creepy, like propaganda, because there's absolutely no way you can get 60 million people to leave the country of their own volition. So it's like. You know, and then the creepiest part is like Steve Bannon is like right there with all these
people.
Creeps.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the creepy part, is like they're close to power. So anyhow, this guy Richard Spencer has been going on all these different things and outlets, and there's been all this debate about, like, should you even have him on anywhere? Like, should anywhere give him any airtime?
Right. Like, does he actually need any more airtime? Does anyone else need to hear from him?
Exactly. And not only that, and then everyone's like, oh, you can't just censor someone because you don't agree with their opinion and meow, meow, meow. Mm-hmm. But it's like, it's not an opinion, it's propaganda. And people have him on their shows and they don't press him at all on the things that he's just like, oh, yeah, I don't
like the liberal media specifically.
He's been on NPR and they were like, oh, so you're a Nazi? And he's like, actually, I'm not a Nazi. And if you listen to him talk, if you're not thinking about it critically at all, you can, I could totally see people that are kind of
wishy-washy or on either like, side or yeah, not sure. Or
close to being like radicalized into like white supremacy, you know, or like white nationalist ideology, being like, you know, this guy sounds reasonable because he's trying to, because that's like the whole PR move.
Yeah.
So anyhow, I've been going deep into a rabbit hole of like people, of like things that he's been on, and then people debating whether or not it's he should have been on, and then people debating that debate, and like going down into like a dark, dark tunnel. And then I was listening to it and Katie comes in and she's like, are you still like listening to people talk about people talking about people talking about Richard Spencer? And I'm like, I can't stop. And she's like, this is like Rush Limbaugh for you. But I'm like, the people talking are not like, that's the whole point, is that it's against propaganda. But I'm like really obsessed with thinking about it.
Certainly. I do wonder.
I mean, there's obviously many better uses of my time.
Right. But this is a legitimate concern.
Right?
I mean, it's a pretty serious thing. And if he's, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it'd be nice if we could all ignore these people. But the reality is that we have a government in place.
Steps where, away from the White House.
That's the thing. I mean, like, they are too close to the people in power. And we certainly can't just pretend like it's not there. But I do wonder what the most, like, what a more effective approach might be.
Other than just, like, staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Completely pulling your hair out. Being not sleeping.
I saw the MFA show. I saw the Mills MFA show. None of us are officially associated with Mills at this point. So we can really dig deep and just cut it.
Stephanie, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry.
That's Stephanie Hainer, director of the Mills College Art Museum. Who's the best? I think my favorite work in the show was by Kate Pruitt.
Oh.
Did you see the show?
I haven't seen it yet.
So Kate Pruitt makes, her work was kind of ceramics and video, where she had these little tiny projectors that were mounted on these funny ceramic, like weird kind of organic shape, noodle-y shapes. Wow. That had nice little screws that the thing would screw into, and they were kind of like a little noodle arm that would come out of the wall, and then there'd be a little tiny projector mounted on it, projecting onto the wall like these odd videos of like banana slugs mating, and like it was all about like touch and weird, like these weird organic blobby different things
bulbous
going on. Uh-huh, things were bulbous. And then there was like this funny kind of, it looked like ceramic, but it was actually like shea butter and all this weird like salve stuff, and you could touch it and rub it, and it worked as a moisturizer.
Was that the point of it?
I don't know, but I was happy to have it because I'm always looking for hand lotion.
Imagine how people have been rubbing that thing.
Yeah, they've been rubbing the shit out of it. I don't know why, but I feel like hand cream is clean. It didn't freak me out at all. So that was my MVP of the show.
MVP, I think she got one of the Mills Awards.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Oh, good for her.
I actually really want to go to SF State this year.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
I'd like to go to SF State.
Is it already open?
I don't know. I was gonna say, is it already closed? God damn it.
It's Saturday's the last day.
For CCA?
For SF State. Okay, SF State's MFA show is up.
And through tomorrow.
Yeah. It closes May 13th.
Which is not good.
Ooh, I have another trend in our trend tracker.
Okay.
Witchcraft.
In. Always in.
Big time. I feel like I read an article in Carla magazine in their, not the most recent issue, but the one before that, that was about like LA witchcraft, like feminist witchcraft art.
Whoa.
and I believe witchcraft is in. Now, Maysoon, do you do any kind of witchcraft?
Yes.
I sometimes try to do a little bit of witchcraft, like when I spread my hair around Bemis trying to get that residency. But, you know, I think part of why that didn't work, first off, when I do try to do that kind of thing, I feel like I'm appropriating a little bit.
The witchcraft,
because it's not part of my culture in any way. Although I do feel like my mom would try to put hexes on people.
What about the Salem witch trial? Salem witch ladies.
I don't think I had any people there of mine.
None? You sure?
I don't think so. Most of my people that I actually know their history immigrated in the 20th century. So, but were they doing weird witchcraft in Portugal? Yeah, and
totally.
Portugal did,
I feel like every culture has some, they were all kind like of ritualistic. Oh my God.
You think need Catholic say counts more? As witches?
Yes.
But they burned witches. I really want to draw.
They
worshipped
all those fucking saints. I mean, they did all sorts of crazy shit, the Catholics.
I think as I'm getting older and I'm coming closer to mortality, I am wanting to draw more from the spirit world.
Is that true?
I think so. I mean, I haven't really thought about it before saying it right now, but I do think that I am seeing more out into the universe, that like there's powers that I want to tap into. But then part of it also feels kind of futile and like maybe escapist a little bit, that I can believe that there are greater powers and that, aww, like justice will eventually come, even if we can't have real practical human justice on Earth. Well, but so do you do any kind of conjuring or?
No.
None?
No.
You don't light a candle or?
I don't. I tell you, I know people who light candles, who have like small altars in their home. And I've always loved that idea, you know, like, or I just have always been like, I sort of admire that, or just the idea that you're spending a moment thinking about something, whether it's like another person or this like general idea of like a higher being or who knows what it could be. But I've never, and I think I've tried to do that as like a, is this something that's for me? And I just have, I don't respond well.
And I also
I feel really fake. I'm like, this is so not me. This isn't the way I do it.
My girlfriend was raised Wiccan, so she brings in a little bit of that kind of stuff to us. Like for the solstices and the equinoxes, we have to do little certain things.
And like what? I think that's kind of nice, though.
The winter solstice, we light a candle and then you jump over it. Okay. I forget, there's another part where you say something or like, how's everybody else doing with the spirit world? Let us know. 419-351.
We won't judge you.
We won't judge you one way or the other. 419-351-6606. You can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast, or you can email us congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. Here with artist, notable artist, artist on the rise.
Yeah.
Tamara Seal.
Hi. It's really good to see you both.
Yay.
Graduate of SFAI.
Absolutely.
MFA program.
4 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gosh, has it been already?
Right.
Do you miss
bananas?
It?
Bananas.
You know, I don't.
I remember your show was in the Mint.
Were you there?
Uh-huh. Yep.
So cool. Were you?
I don't remember.
Yes. I think that we went to that together, Maysoon.
4 years ago?
Yeah. Whoa. When I still had my Honda or my Toyota Avalon. Anyhow, your show for the MFA show had a piece that was kind of referencing a diving board.
The Devil's Diving Board. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a while ago, and it was about actually my anxiety. Speaking of anxieties, plunging into the art world.
Ooh.
Yeah. With no net. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it was everything like tightly crafted with like, was it acrylic? There was like a piece on the top that light could shine through and it created like a blue Shadow on the Ground.
Oh, I feel like I kind of remember that.
See, you were there.
Yeah. Wow. Sounds familiar. The description sounds familiar to me.
Is that right? Is that accurate?
It created its own swimming pool, actually. Oh, yeah. So it was like diving board swimming pool. And I had broken one of the pieces. They were actually like dichroic glass. Yes. And I had broken one. So when I replaced it, it was a slightly off color. So it looked like it was like the low end and the deep end of swimming. I was like, cool.
Even more appropriate.
That was nice.
Yeah.
That was good.
And didn't somebody climb it?
Wait, really?
Should we not talk about that?
Was that the second time it broke? No.
Oh, yeah, right.
Is that top secret?
No. There were more than one. There were quite a few footprints. And it was kind of bizarre because it was suspended by two thin wires.
Yeah.
What?
Right? Like not.
Pretty precarious.
Load bearing.
No, not.
But it did look so like enticing. It's the space. What was on the ground? Like,
the white AstroTurf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It did. It looked like you wanted to kind of go in and be kind of immersed in it. And I think people heard that siren song.
I think they were, invited up.
Yeah.
And I'm glad nobody, because I really, in retrospect, I was like, somebody really could have severely hurt, broken their neck.
Yeah. Would you have a liability on that one?
I don't know.
No. No. Who would that go to? The Mint?
Oh, my.
SFAI?
The Mint or no SFAI? One? Yeah, no, someone would definitely be responsible for that.
Who do you think would be responsible?
It'd either be the Mint or SFAI, but they both have insurance.
Okay.
So it's all covered. We could go anyhow. Point is, I'm curious about the idea of portals, portals into another dimension. Mm. And I'm wondering if that is part of your thought process.
I definitely, people write about portals in relationship to my work.
Oh, okay.
I am definitely aiming for altered states of consciousness. So I guess that's synonymous with portals.
So it is transportive.
Yes. I love that. I love that. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want people to kind of have a really altered state. I'm not sure if I mentioned this before. I studied with an Indian guru for many years, and that was very trippy. And I went into very altered states, seeing red lightning and not knowing if I was in the inside world or the outside world. And so I kind of want to, I went to kind of these, she kind of induced these states and without drugs.
Like through guided meditation or?
She was a Shaktipat guru and she.
Tell us more.
Yeah, what is that?
She would bop you with her peacock feathers and it was super wild. And then literally the Kundalini, which is that coiled up serpent-like energy that, rises through your energy, portals.
Okay.
In your body.
Uh-huh.
Love that. The energy portals would be kind of activated. And then when, as the energy rose, you would kind of go into very altered states. And it was really doing mushrooms or, which I don't so much.
It was that intense.
It was that intense. It was that intense. Yes, it was very trippy and there was positives and negatives to it, but it's definitely influenced my work. I saw colors and things that I hadn't seen before.
We were just talking about
the spirit world, connections to the beyond.
Oh, what were you saying?
Well, just
I was talking about witchcraft and how I sometimes try to tap into witchcraft in times when I feel powerless, because it feels like a way to do something. Wow. And when you're in a situation where there's no other way to have an impact on the situation,
yes,
other than going through into a, like another world.
Yes.
Hoping that world can somehow then have some kind of reciprocal effect back on this world.
I really believe in that. Do you do as well?
I think I'm too practical. I don't believe in that as much. I was relating it more to like where I feel like I can transcend or get through things is through, like for me would be dance. Mm. But I don't consider it spiritual as much as it's sort of like, it just helps me like break through certain
like
things.
Like psychological.
Yeah. Yes.
It moves energy.
Yeah.
Do you do witchcraft as well? Yeah.
It's funny because I was an extra when I was younger about a movie about witchcraft, and it was near where I grew up. I grew up in Marblehead, Massachusetts, and a couple towns over is Salem, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. of course, where the witch trials, transpired.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so I was an extra in a film, and I was really fascinated my whole life with, like, the, you know, like, going to the witch museum and seeing, you know, and seeing how they were stoned or burnt or, you know, that always fascinated me. But no, I don't practice witchcraft.
Do you feel like art is kind of its own kind of witchcraft?
Mm.
Of like, I think it's interesting to like chart your charging objects, like giving them a, some kind of charge,
right? And objects are kind of, for me, you know, for me and for lots of people, I think they are highly charged, and each one is so unique. And depending upon where you place it, depending on space and the viewer's relationship to it, it's like, you know, it takes on different energies mm-hmm. and different powers.
I also was reading in your artist statement thing that you mentioned about being nearsighted.
Mm-hmm. I'm super nearsighted, and it's not my nearsightedness cannot be completely fixed. So I see things like really out of focus, even with my glasses. And I oftentimes just, especially when things are really stressing me out, I'm just like, I just want to see things even less in focus.
Oh, interesting.
A lot of your work investigates materials,
yes.
including plastics.
Yes.
Are you using proper safety precautions?
Most of the time, sometimes I really regret that I didn't.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And, my lungs start really hurting, etc. But most of the time, I'm very good about it. And I don't know, I want to experiment with every material on the planet.
Even the really freaky ones.
I pretty much.
What's a freaky? What's like the freakiest material you can think of?
That
I just
one,
went really dark.
That one kind of slime. There's slime that's actually not really slime. It's like a whole bunch of different tiny microbes that work together to create a slime.
Oh, yeah, no.
I don't know. That's not.
No.
No, I wasn't quite thinking that.
Maybe that's pushing it.
I was curious. I'm curious about how it's going in the public art realm.
That's a scary realm.
Or just like
really
how you're feeling
scary.
About that. Yeah.
But it seems like your work is like really appropriate for like going out into that.
Yeah.
Being out amongst the people.
It's not as easy as it looks.
No.
It's very competitive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And people who have been working in the field a long time, you know, are going to often get priority, you know, who are much more established. That's what I'm kind of realizing. I did get shortlisted. I was really fortunate. I got, for the Moscone Center for their sculpture, which was amazing because I was like in a group with like Sarah Z. So, so that was really good. And, that's a really great question. That's going to be my focus this year because I'm really broke.
Mm-hmm.
And
they pay like, whoa.
Well,
they
it's because
really
there's
pay.
There's huge budgets coming in
yeah.
from all that building. That's
yeah.
public art always has a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
unfortunately, I think the Art Commission, I don't know if the, it seems like they're like more and more people are applying, and I don't know, you know, like how every year when you apply to things, they're like, there's a rec, they write you back a really sweet little note, and they're like, this year they're with a record amount.
Yeah,
you know, this number of applications
exactly.
Apply for three slots.
Exactly. Exactly. You're in the minus, you know, 100%.
How does it go? Are you still now, do you have to battle it out with Sarah Z?
No. I was in I think there were several people, and she was one of them, and I didn't get to the final stage, which those three people then got to, like,
they do like a full presentation with, like,
yes,
you know,
yes, I believe
stuff. Yeah.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Jeez.
Yeah. Maybe someday.
Yeah.
Oh, right? Definitely.
Yeah. Someday.
You got any, you want to, another big part of our podcast is talking a lot of shit about the art world.
I have a really, yeah, I have about one. I won't name names because, uh-oh, like, it's a small world.
Sure is.
But I had a really wretched experience recently where, yeah, I did. I was curated into a show and they loved a mock-up. And I decided to make it because it was for something else that was important that was coming up. And to make a longer story shorter, it ended up not fitting. I made this piece and I spent all my last money on it and it didn't fit. They had, you know, preparators and really professional people, mm-hmm, but somehow, and I've always measured, et cetera, I've always taken full, you know, the onus on myself. And this time I didn't, because I thought they were large and in charge, and they screwed up on such a massive level. And so, like, now I have this gargantuan piece.
Fuck.
It's 10.5 feet in diameter.
Whoa.
It barely fits in my garage, and I don't know, you know, hopefully it will be shown one day. I think it's kind of will be good if it, you know, and I do have that now, but now I'm, you know, anyways, it was like really,
whoa, that's some institutions behaving badly.
Yeah,
that's
right?
Another segment on the show.
Oh, wow, that's a great segment.
Yeah. That's, I haven't done one in a while, but
yeah, that's
I'm
like,
here. I'm here. Are. I yeah. feel like I brought it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Unfortunate. That's gotta be a yeah. I don't work in that.
Did
much.
You get paid though?
No, it was an uncommissioned commission. It was like this weird. It was, wow. I know. So like I spent all my, but as I said, it was supposed to be for something else as well, and that I got nominated for, and so I was thinking, oh, this will be the one big thing they'll come to see, and I was kind of grandstanding. I think it was hubris. honestly,
you flew too close to the sun.
I did. I was like so egoic. It was so friggin' egoic, and honestly, I really kind of learned some spiritual lessons.
Right on.
You know, because I'm really into the, you know, self, like, you know, shit happens and you create havoc in your life. And I believe that you then have to, you know, look at yourself and self-reflect.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, otherwise it's like you're just going to, you know, be doing the same thing over and over.
Self-destruct.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like that.
That seems like a major concern when you're doing large scale work. Like you're putting a lot of trust into the places that you show.
And most of the time, I think that most of the people are really trustworthy, mm-hmm, and really show up.
Yeah.
This was like a really bizarre experience.
You also, like with some of the plastics and polymer kind of stuff, do you have things fabricated sometimes?
I am big on not making shit.
Oh.
Yeah. You guys ask and I will tell.
Yeah, oh, right, no, on. I was going to ask that.
Oh, yeah. Tell everything. Yeah. Working with fabricators too, though, seems like a ton of trust that you're putting out.
Oh, yeah. But if they fuck up, they have to redo it.
Well, how does that all go down? Have you ever had a weird experience with that?
I'm into the fuck up. I'm into people like screwing up things that I am very precise about, you know, delineating what I need and then them kind of screwing up and they get really nervous. Like I have this one guy who used to help me with some fabrication of resin stuff and he would like I would do it perfectly and then I would bring it to him and I would be like, here's how I cast these, what do you think? Oh yeah, no problem, no problem. And then he'd come back to me like months later when, you know, it was due and he would be like, you know, the cold, the winter, the cold, the sun, the heat, the, you know, and
all
he,
this stuff. Yeah.
Like, you know, and I don't have that machine that rotates everything. And he'd tell me like a million things and I'd be like on the phone with him, like driving over and be like, don't worry, I'm sure I'll love it. And he'd be like, well, we'll see, Tamara. And then I'd come over and I'd be like, oh my God, this is so much better because it looked like it was thrashed. And
what,
yeah.
Really?
And, seriously. And I'd be like, wow, those are totally thrashed. And I wouldn't have known how to like create that effect.
How to do that.
Yeah. Like, so it was like, I love, actually, I do a lot of mistakes myself, even when I'm, you know, like fabricating my own work. And I make a lot of mistakes.
No. Or no. No, okay. Just checking. Sorry.
Yeah, no, because I'm just, you know, not...
You're human.
I'm not good at a lot of things. And, you know, I screw up a lot. And then but then I'm like, wow, you know, like, look at that. Like, I'm just going to go with that, and then I'm going to rethink it. And, like, I, you know, put some dichroic film on a piece recently. I was going to dichroic the entire, you know, piece. And then I realized, and then, like, I got these bubbles in it. And anyways, I just said, you know what? I realized that the piece looked, like, so much better and was doing like, way more spectacular, like, with just this one piece. And I was like, you know, if people are freaked out by the bubbles, you know, that's their, you know, that's that. And like eventually I'll be able to afford someone who can surface this, you know, but right now I can't afford that. I can't afford to hire someone to do that. Yeah. In you know, a big plastic corporate, you know, company.
Yeah.
What would you make if you just had like infinity money?
Oh.
And like infinity space to put it in.
I have like a lot of mock-ups and, that I really of pieces that I am dying to make. Like, is the first time someone gives me money, I'm gonna be like, so the thing that I want to make the most is, you know, those future color rods that are super glowing, fluorescent from within.
You've made that are a circle with
that
a,
are gun drilled
in a circle. Super remind me, if you ever saw back in the Legos that had, there was like the astronaut Legos that had this like that hot green. It was like an antenna, and then when you'd look at it straight on, like down on it, it would glow like that. You have that same color in one of your pieces, and that's what it always super reminds me of.
So cool. I didn't have that toy.
I've never heard of that toy.
Not a lot of Lego maniacs here. Okay.
Anyhow, no, that sounds really cool.
Anyhow, go on.
Yeah, I want that thing. Yeah, so I would make a giant one. You can get them, those rods fabricated up to, I believe, like 8 inches in diameter. They're real, it's like, you know, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. But I want to make a giant one to fill a kind of white 2001 Space Odyssey-esque space.
What? Damn.
Like a white void space.
A white void space, like Ratio 3 actually has like the ideal space, actually, because they have like that kind of weird lighting.
Fluorescent.
Yes.
Yeah. That super white. Yeah.
Super white. And like I just want this giant thing like suspended in space, and it will be like, you know, the rod within the rod, you know, like,
whoa.
Yeah, and it will shift your, I think, the way you see color and it will, the way you see light, and it will be a very phenomenological, you know, experience. Yep. It'll be really cool.
Trippy.
Are these rods installed horizontally or vertically?
They're like the ones you had where like sticking the wall. Out of the
yes.
wall.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
But
exactly.
So this would be like suspended?
This would be, suspended. This would be like it's really. Huge. Yeah, it would be huge. I like, oh God.
People send the money.
Send
the money. We want to see it.
Send the money.
Cool. Yay. Oh my All God, right. The two of us. Well, is there anything else you would like listeners to know?
Oh, yeah, maybe oh, yeah. one thing. I do have a show up with Noki Onodera. His work is great. He's a painter. It's called The Cave. It's at Bass and Reiner at Minnesota Street Projects. And it's up till May 27th. It's kind of interesting. Yeah, I feel pretty good about it.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us today. It has been a pleasure, an honor, and a privilege to have you on the show. You are one of our most requested guests.
Yay!
You've been very sought after. Ask. People are like, please get Tamara on the show.
That's hilarious. So awesome. Yeah. That's so cute. That's really funny.
So thank you again. And as always, congratulations. If you find yourself in Pittsburgh this weekend, on Saturday it's going to be the Meet the Candidates and Bar Crawl in Pittsburgh. It is a tradition by the Stonewall Democrats of the Steel City, where the LGBT community has an opportunity to interact on a one-on-one basis with the candidates that are coming up in the next election there. You can check that out in Pittsburgh at at the 5801 Video Lounge and Cafe. Let us know what events you're going to be seeing as you go from the bridge
to the other bridge
to the island in between. This has been Congratulations Pine Tree.